Walk across to read what I'm going to read to you this morning. Those of you of a certain age will understand the reference. Charlie Brown was trying to figure out what the meaning of Christmas was, and Linus let him know. And I always thought, you know, those subtle little things you never pick up. Did you ever notice that Linus drops his security blanket while he's telling that story? Doesn't need it when that story's told. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go, even now, unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. What a miraculous story. What a miraculous episode in history it was for Jesus to be born. And all of the prophecies, and we talked about prophecy and hope last week, all of the prophecies that were fulfilled, all of the hopes that had been held by a people for generation after generation were focused on a babe in a manger. And a miraculous fulfillment, because this was no ordinary babe. But there's something troubling in this, because Scripture tells us that Jesus is to be called Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And it says in this part of the story, and it said in the Isaiah passage that we read earlier as we lit the Advent candles, that Jesus' mission was to bring peace on earth. And my question for you this morning, if his mission was to bring peace on earth, did he fail in his purpose? Wars, hatred, prejudice, violence, disrespect are all proliferating in our society today. In fact, as time progresses, it seems that man's inhumanity toward man is getting worse rather than better. So where's this peace on earth? Where's this goodwill toward men? It's a question we're forced to ask ourselves. Because, you know, we're not blind, we're not without understanding, and we're not stupid. We see what goes on around us. We see the turmoil that exists even in our own hearts, and we got to wonder sometimes just exactly where is this peace on earth? Has the Prince of Peace failed in his purpose? But wait, it's even more than that. Jesus comes with the title Prince of Peace. The prophetic statements say that he is going to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men, but even Jesus himself said he came not to bring peace, but a sword. Even Jesus himself said that he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Do we have conflicting vision here? Is Jesus prophesied to say and do one thing, but yet he turns around and says something entirely different? There's got to be some confusion. I'll tell you this. I firmly believe the Bible does not contradict itself. So what we have here is a problem of interpretation, not a problem of Scripture. So many prophecies talk about end times violence. So many prophecies talk about the conflict that is within mankind, and we ourselves, as we live and breathe and look at the world around us, we see there's plenty of conflict still. So there's got to be something else that we're not understanding. They call Jesus Prince of Peace. It's Sar Shalom in Hebrew. And I think that a better understanding of what biblical peace is important. What is shalom? Shalom, at its heart, is a sense of the rightness of things based on the sure knowledge of the character, the trustworthiness, and the beneficent nature of God. We know that God remains on His throne. We know that God has a plan and a purpose. We know that God has the capability of taking even our pain and turning that into something that is beneficial for us. If we truly believe and trust God, then our circumstances should not be able to shake the peace, the shalom that is held in our hearts. I would compare it to this. Now, not everybody had a good home life. Not everybody had a father that is the biblical picture of a father. But it's kind of like this. Picture yourself as a child, and the world is shaking around you. Circumstances have turned against you, and you're in turmoil in your soul. And you're wondering what life is going to be like. You're wondering whether I'm going to be able to succeed or not. You wonder whether I'm going to be able to survive. I'm shaken. I'm worried. I'm scared. But then Daddy comes home. And when Daddy comes home, you trust Him enough and you believe in Him enough that He's going to make everything all right. That Christian is a picture of biblical peace. But you see, it gets even better than that. Because if you're in the right place, you can believe that Daddy is coming home and He's going to make everything all right. So even when He's not physically present, you can be at peace in your heart despite the turmoil in your life, because you know that Daddy's still there and He's a-coming. This Christian is the way that we have to live as believers. Because you see, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is coming back. And we know from biblical history, we know from what we can observe and see and the knowledge that we have of our own history, we know that there has been turmoil in the world as long as there's been a world. We know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and the first thing that happens following His birth and all of the joy and all of the announcements is this: an evil king sets out to destroy Him. And he can't find the one, so let's kill them all. Do you understand that Jesus, his very presence in a manger as a baby caused turmoil? We know that throughout history, the most desperate fights, the most heartfelt wars, the most heartfelt genocides have happened because of religious belief. When Jesus said, "I came to bring a sword," when He said further that even, but He says, even a man's own family will turn against him. And from the time that Christianity began to spread in the world, that has been a truth. When an understanding of the truth of God comes into the world, when it comes into a person, then there is inherently conflict that comes with it. As long as evil remains in the world, evil will fight against truth. Darkness will fight against light. Those who follow the understanding of the world system, which is fallen, will contend against those who have seen the light and decided to follow the light. It is a fact of life that will exist until all things are put right at the end of the age. We can't get away from it. It's who we are. And that is the nature that is in us that we inherit from the fall of Adam. Listen, everything's going to be okay because God's coming back. What does it actually say? What did the angels say to those shepherds? Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's skip the peace for a minute. Goodwill toward men. Whose goodwill toward men? God's. You see, what God provided through the Messiah is an opportunity to have internal peace, because we are sure that we know who God is, we are sure that we know what His character is, and we are sure that we belong to Him. That's where inner peace comes from. Inner peace does not Circumstances affect us, but circumstances should never shake us. If we have true inner peace, then we ought to be able to weather whatever the storms of circumstance come at us. We had a story this morning during prayer time of a shocking revelation of deception. Well, what gets you through something like that? Faith. A belief that God is good, a belief that God will open the right doors and close the wrong doors. That's what gets you through times like that. We've had, during our prayer time, we talked about numerous people that had passed, or numerous people that had unexpected physical problems. What gets people through those times? An inner peace. Sure, it hurts. Sure, we suffer loss in many ways in this physical life, but spiritually, if we have the peace that God can put within us, then we can weather any storm, because we believe that God has goodwill toward men. See, man doesn't always have goodwill toward his fellow man, does he? Even people who wear the name of Christ, those who have devoted themselves to Christianity, even sometimes men and women who have made that decision don't always have goodwill toward their fellow man. Because here's the truth of the matter. Every one of us has been disappointed. Every one of us has been hurt. And the entity that caused that, I believe in the long end of it, was the enemy, it was the devil. But who did he use to hurt and disappoint you? Your fellow man. Generally speaking, as Jesus talked about, your fellow man that hurt you was someone who was close to you, some rank stranger. It's hard for them to disappoint you. But those who are closest to you, it's hard not to get disappointed at people. But we're all painfully human. And we all say stupid things. We all do stupid things. We all fail to do what we should do. That's why we always have a time of repentance before we share the Lord's Supper. We do that because we are painfully human and we all mess up. The question is, do you have goodwill toward those who mess up? Do we have this peace that God has planted within us that won't be fully realized until Jesus rules and reigns on this earth? Understand that. There will always be conflict. There will always be misunderstanding. There will always be hurt. There will always be pain. until such time as Messiah rules and reigns. Then there will be peace on earth. But the goodwill toward men, we can trust that God has it. And let's think about that. If God has goodwill toward men, and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, believer, then the God who has goodwill toward men dwells in you. Will you let it out? Will you let that influence you more than the hurt and the pain and the disappointment, than the anger and the frustration? Will you submit all of those human emotions to the fact that the God who has goodwill toward men dwells in you and is crying to get out of you? Because you see, having the right attitude is one thing. Having the right attitude turn into the right actions is something else entirely. To know a thing is one thing. To know and do a thing is something completely different. And we need to be able to know and do and act on the character of the God whom we serve and who dwells within us. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I can tell you that when the time is right, peace on earth can and will happen. But it'll be an act of God. Because as long as fallen man and the power of the prince of the power of the air, who is the enemy, who is Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, as long as he holds sway, he's going to stimulate people to hate, to be jealous, to be fearful of. And until such time as God rules and reigns and the enemy is bound, there will be pain and there will be suffering and there will be disappointment and heartache in this world. But it doesn't have to be in you. The Bible tells us it is impossible for us not to be offended. But it doesn't stop there, does it? What does it say after that? Don't take offense. If I offer you something, if I were to walk down and offer this piece of paper to somebody, you can't control the fact that I offered it to you, can you? You know what you can control? Whether or not you take it. You're going to have opportunities to be offended. You're going to have opportunities to be hurt. You're going to have opportunities to be fearful. At a level, you're going to have an opportunity to hate. You're going to have an opportunity to hurt and to wound. Don't take it. Self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Notice I don't say fruits of the Spirit. It's hard to divide. God, the fruit of the Spirit is all of those characteristics. And we don't have to take offense. We don't have to be insulted. We need to be able to embrace that entire package. You know, I decided when we started going through this Advent program, I was going to preach my way through the Advent themes. And we talked about prophecy and hope. And that's one thing. When you can look out and see it and reach for it. The prophecies are there. The hope is there. The fact that the prophecies are there create hope in us. And today, it's peace. And peace is found not necessarily in a babe in a manger, because that's the first step of a long process. But peace is found because the babe in the manger lived the life that he was supposed to. He gave that life willingly. And because his life was taken from him unjustly, death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. His perfect blood paid the penalty that the blood of all the bulls and goats and sheep in the world couldn't pay. It paid for my sin and yours. And we have hope in that. We can take peace in that. We can take comfort in that. This life that we live is a short sojourn in the scope of eternity. But our souls are eternal. This is one episode in the series, is this life that we live. And we can look forward to an eternity in the presence of a living, loving, beneficent God who reached out in an extraordinary way for you. Notice I say for you and not for us. Because God doesn't see a lot of us's, but He sees a whole lot of you's. It's not about us. We live out the life among us, but the relationship is to Dwayne and to Carlos and to Peggy and to Tammy and to Colin. He has relationships with individuals, and the individuals then live out that relationship in the company of others. God did it for you. I'm going to ask you today, have you got peace within? I'm going to ask you today, are you holding a grudge? Are you offended? Are you angry? I'm going to ask you today, are you able to take comfort in your relationship with God in spite of your circumstances? If not, you can be. If you are, believe that you are living in that kind of a state where you can take comfort, you can take peace, and you're living out of the peace within you, it can still be deeper. You can be more than you are today. The altars are open. Do whatever business you have to do with God. And if you need particular prayer, come on up and see us, and we'll lift you up in prayer.
Children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekron Adonai. We will praise Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand.
Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son.
Always loved that song.
El Shaddai,
Father God, I pray for this congregation. I ask, Lord, that you touch each and every one of us and draw us close to you. I pray, God, that you would help us realize that the Prince of Peace lives in us, and we don't have to participate in the turmoil. We don't have to let disappointment and hurt and heartache and fear shake us, because we have a relationship with you through Christ Jesus. And Father, I just pray right now that the covering, the protection of the blood of Christ would cover and keep us all safe. And I pray, God, as this Christmas season, this time that we celebrate the birth of Messiah, as it works its way through, I pray, God, that we would each draw closer to you each day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.